Hello, and welcome to episode 102 of Teacher Tech Talk. I'm your host, Tom Varnum, the Digital Learning Specialist for the Tyngsborough Public Schools in Tyngsborough, Massachusetts. Since this is our second episode, I thought I'd focus on how to get started using technology in the classroom. Three things to keep in mind when getting started. First, you need to be willing to take chances. Networks crash, computers freeze, the power goes out, all sorts of things can go wrong when you incorporate technology into your classroom. Be ready for anything. Have plans A, B, and C. Second, be open and honest with the students. On many occasions, I would say to my class, hey, I'm trying something new here. Give it your best shot and let me know how it goes. If you find a tip or a trick for this site, share it with us. It never hurts to get them invested in how the class is taught. Finally, never let the tech obscure the curriculum. If they spend more time trying to figure out how the tech works, they'll have very little energy or patience when it comes time to learn the content. Part of this episode, and hopefully many more, is being recorded in the new podcast studio in Tyngsborough Middle School. Our guest this week is the founding father of the studio, Chris Pollitt, the principal of Tyngsborough Middle School. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you here. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your career in education.
So I am in my third year here at Tyngsborough Middle School. This is my 29th year in education. So I've been a social studies teacher 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I was an assistant principal in a couple of different buildings, and I've been a principal now, and this is my second building. I have a couple of college degrees that I have not done anything with in a long time. So at this point, I've taught a couple classes at the university level, but I don't see myself going any further that way. So.
And what he doesn't tell you is that he is a Yankees fan, but we will forgive him for that. his office has Yankees posters. It's a travesty. All right, so back to the point. So we're talking about trying to get teachers more invested in using technology in the classroom. So one of my questions for you would be, at what point were you sold on the effectiveness of technology in the classroom? You and I have had many conversations about, you know, the great things that technology can do in the classroom. Was there a site or an app or something that was a game changer? Was it something you used, something you saw a teacher use in the classroom? When did, I don't know, the light bulb go on?
Well, it's funny because when you talk about technology in the classroom, you're really talking about you're talking about something as simple as an overhead projector from 40 years ago, or you're talking about a different movie medium that you could use in your classroom. And I'll humble myself a little bit here, but I remember using the Apple IIe computer and playing Oregon Trail with my kids in sixth grade or seventh grade, or Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
Yep.
So those games actually helped focus classes, and it was a reward or an extension way back in the 90s. And then when I became an administrator, you know, I started to see different things offered at conferences. It's funny because I think you and I are of the same age group, and we have seen this go from 0 to 60, and it's actually going to go to about 160 soon enough, you know, with how many applications there are in technology. So the world we're sitting in now is so far removed from the Carmen Sandiego days. I'm sure they still have that app somewhere, but so I think it was going to some conferences initially, and the concept of buying some things in our school. I had a really good principal I worked with who said, you don't buy technology for technology's sake. You buy technology to enhance the learning. And right. So we saw some opportunities to expand kids' learning. And that's when we started to really, you know, go crazy buying different, you know, whether it was at that time, probably with Dell computers that were $1,000 a piece, and that day to now where we're at finding some much more usable, affordable technology. So it's hard to say. It's a kind of like I've grown up with it as an administrator and saw the real benefits of it. You know, it allows us to work, it benefits us because it allows us to work smarter, not harder. You know, it takes care of a lot of those those things that
improves our efficiency.
Yeah. So research, which used to be extremely cumbersome as a teacher when you were teaching kids to research, or when I was teaching them to research, you know, you're pulling multiple texts off shelves, and now as a teacher, I can actually point you as a student into three directions, and I can use some of the tools that are out there now to refine your research. And then I was watching a teacher the other day use EasyBib, which we've both used. How long did kids have to take to do those bibliographies? Now you just tell this what format, and here's the book, and boom, it's right in there, and it's done.
When I was still in the English classroom, when I would be doing research paper, I still have my research paper from when I was a junior in high school back in 1980-something. And it's on the onion skin paper with the little red lines on the border, and it's got the footnotes at the bottom. And, oh, my God, the hassle that you had to go through to get the spacing for that was just...
When I was in my third job, I had pulled all the old technology from home or things that I had used, and I had one of those old typewriters that... would give you, it's actually like a word processor, and it would give you like two lines of text, and then it would print it out. And if you made one mistake in that, you couldn't, it wasn't saved, it wasn't whatever. And I had actually brought it to that school, and it was probably 15 years old at that point, and they were laughing at me. If I ever were to bring that here, they would put that on some shelf as an antique, you know. So it's funny, and that's in my lifetime. So I think that this is, it's really interesting to be at this time thinking about where we can go with things, but then to take a moment and look back at where we were, it's truly mind-boggling.
Yeah. Other than the obvious answer of finances, what are some of the hurdles you've encountered as an administrator in multiple buildings in improving the use of technology in the classroom?
I think for many teachers, unless you get one of those teachers who's really cutting edge, really willing to take risks, it's that teachers struggle to accept new things and to take those risks. So you might go to a conference or go to another classroom and see some incredible stuff being done, and you recommend that to somebody to help them to move forward on a, you know, set of skills or trying to work with kids or whatever. And because they don't have confidence in that tool or whatever, they don't want to appear to their students or certainly to an administrator that they're incompetent or they're not, you know, that they're just not as solid as they'd want to be. So
how much of that do you think is, and I've had some conversations with teachers about this, is fear of, I guess, bad evaluations, you know, bottom line. In Massachusetts, we now have a relatively new evaluation tool that, you know, the administrator is going to pop in for an unannounced visit, and, you know, chaos is reigning in the classroom because Flipgrid isn't working on that day.
Well, I think there's a tone that's certainly set by an administrator in a school, that if I go to you as a teacher and say I want to come in and see something that you're going to challenge yourself with, that's going to scare you initially. But if the longer those are the conversations that we're having, and I want to help this get better as an administrator, then I think it's less of a problem. Yeah. But again, I'm in my third year here, so I'm still relatively new. It's not like, you can only prove to them as a teacher over time that's the model, the climate that you want to have. I guess the other thing, though, is teachers always are still making that transition from teacher to facilitator. And as a facilitator, when you're dealing with technology and you're putting kids out there, you're losing a little bit of control.
Losing control. I think a lot of teachers are hesitant to do that.
I think that's as big an issue as a fear of a bad evaluation for me. And I also think there's still a fear of students using technology improperly, too. And I, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, I always say ready, fire, you know, fire, aim, as opposed to ready, aim, fire, because we spend too much time aiming and fearful of all the different potential outcomes that we never really do it. And I think that's another piece to it. So
that makes sense. So kind of on that topic, how can we, you know, you're an administrator, I'm kind of a facilitator for the teachers in my position. How can we help teachers get more comfortable using technology in the classroom?
Well, I think that, you know, to go to that point that you brought up is like the fear of evaluation. We got to take that right out. We got to give them an opportunity to take a risk and know that there's not going to be any kind of evaluation, retribution, whatever you want to say. I think that we have to physically put stuff in front of them, but also know that if you use it, it's not like you're going to be evaluated poorly just your first shot through it. I also think that we want to get them out into other classrooms, get teachers out into other classrooms where they are using this technology. And we do strive to have a technology goal in their plans every year. So I feel like in this building, there are very few people who aren't willing to really take a chance or try to use technology. And maybe a little bit of it is just the new, you know, Mr. Hook and myself as and Mr. Evans as evaluators, you know, really applauding them for trying those new things. And hopefully that will continue. Plus the push from the school district to really get technology in front of kids and technology, you know, teachers had a choice to take an Acer or to keep their MacBook. And that doesn't happen everywhere. There are a lot of school districts that say, basically, this is what you're using and this is how you're using it, whether you're comfortable or not. And if I'm not comfortable, I'm not going to try it. Mm-hmm. So I think those are important things. And I think just getting them out to conferences and other schools as well, help them see that the possibilities.
Yeah, that was a big thing. We just sent a whole crew to the MassQ conference in October down at Gillette Stadium, and I think on both days we had 12 people from our district at the MassQ conference, which I, you know, was great. Got to take our picture down on the field.
I think a big thing though is just a whole district approach to this too, that you can have principals come and go in an individual building, but one thing that's really worked well, and maybe part of it's your position too, is that there's a commitment in all three schools, and
it's almost a culture that's been established in the district.
Right, and I think that's a big one. So, yeah, I think we're in a pretty good place in this building as far as willingness to try new things.
It's made my job easier in that people are willing to try things. All right, last question. What websites or apps have you seen in your observation that you wish you had when you were still in the classroom? I know I have a couple, and I've only been out of classroom for 2 years or a year and a half. What have you seen? It's like, wow, that would have been really cool to use.
It's kind of hard to, because it's been 20 plus years that I've been out of the classroom by doing my different administrative jobs. So, if I think about the teacher that I was back in the early 90s, which is completely different than the teacher I'd need to be now, some of the like the Quizlet and the Edpuzzle things that I see going on, those would be really handy. Using the methods I was using before,
right,
with today's technology, that's a great one. Online databases, the Gale program that the public library has available to our students. If I had that, it would have made our research process so much easier. For me, as a teacher, I was always scrambling to be organized. I love Google Classroom. I love that concept of being able to, and just the whole Google Suite, to archive and to draft and redraft. I was a social studies teacher, but we did a ton of writing in my class.
Glad to hear it.
That would have been, that was a long time ago, Mr. Varnum. I'm not sure. My kids have done pretty well down the road, the kids I keep in touch with, but
just as an English teacher, glad to hear there's a lot of writing going on.
That would have been a big benefit to me because we did do a lot of writing. We did do a fair amount of research. Combine those two, you know, databases and Google Classroom, it would have been a remarkable tool for me. Yeah.
That was the game changer for me when I was in the classroom was Google Docs, the idea that kids could create a document and share it with another student or a group of students, and the revisions could be a collaborative process. And I was teaching a journalism class back at that time, and this was like manna from heaven. It's like, this is perfect. I think I was using Google Docs before the school actually adopted Google Docs as a program. So that was the one for
me. But as a teacher too, you're able to see the edits and see the effort that's been put into it. And so when I was dealing with students in a setting which was all paper and pencil, or if they were lucky enough to have a decent word processor, you really couldn't determine their edits, their work, how much time they were really putting into it. To teach persistence at that time and, you know, perseverance was a very different proposition than now. Now you have, it's when you're dealing with, like on a team now of 90 kids, you have 90 pieces of writing that it's working smarter, not harder, in this case. So,
Any last thoughts, ideas about how we can move forward, how we can keep this train rolling?
Well, I think that, we can't be over the top, like pushing, because there's so much change that goes on in schools in general. And, you know, the metaphor of the plate, how full can you make your plate? But I think the chances that you can give teachers new little tools now that, hey, try this out on your free time, or, you know, this is something the kids have been doing outside of school as far as applications. Those are always good to do. I think that this room and the podcast concept for kids to be able to demonstrate their knowledge through conversation, as opposed to having to demonstrate it all the time in a written form or in a video form. This might be, if they're comfortable enough to have a conversation and take away all the apparatus that's in the room, you know, in their mind, and just be able to have a conversation about what they know, you could get some pretty remarkable things. I really am enthusiastic about this. So we'll see.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you'll come back and speak with us again.
Yeah, we can talk baseball next year.
All right, we'll see what happens in the spring.
Thanks, Mr. Varn.
Thank you for joining us. Well, that's our episode for this week. Our thanks to Jamie Milne, the technology specialist here at Tingsboro Middle School, for setting up the studio. If you want to leave us a voice message, you can do so from the Anchor app on your phone by clicking the message button. If you'd like to suggest a future topic for Teacher Tech Talk, you can leave a voice message or send me an email. For my email address, check out the show notes page on my website, pages.tingsboropS.org/Varnum, and that's Tingsboro with the UGH at the end. For our next episode, our scheduled guest is an old friend from Notre Dame, Alan Silvetti, who is the English Department Chair at Revere High School in Revere, Ohio. I hope you can join us. Remember, don't be afraid to try something new in the classroom. We'll catch you next time.